There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seeks such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. I want to say Merry Christmas. Actually, we've had a change of plans. We've had to pre-record this show. I'm very sorry about that. I apologize. I know we don't want to leave you in a lurch, and that we had made big plans and had a lot of fun talking about being here on the, I guess it'd be Christmas night at our usual time, Tuesday evening at 8, but we've had to pre-record the show. And that is going to change a little of the dynamics as far as instant text messaging and emails is concerned. Ranger and I will be here in the barn, in the studio, making sure that this recorded show makes it to you and that everything goes right. So we will be here. If you want to send a text message for me and Ranger to read, or you want to send an email, I will be able to say hello to you, because I will be here in the studio for the entire show, and then afterwards we will upload it and stream it like normal. And I'm very sorry that we could not bring you a live show like we had talked about, but it's still new information, and hopefully you can share this with your family, and that you got everything you wanted, and if you didn't, take it back.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and I also want to just make sure you know that I apologize for this show not being live. I know it's going to be a great show today just because of the content. In fact, the content really goes along with my apology, and that is just the word accuracy, being accurate in your heart, is really why I made the decision to not actually be here tonight, but to be with my family. And that's something that I should have stayed true to all along. Of course, I was wanting to do the show really badly. I thought the idea was great, but I kind of overrode my heart and should have just stayed accurate and true to what I had on the inside. So I'm just sharing that with you, and because I want you to know my heart, that we really do appreciate you being on this show. We love the testimonies and the text messages that we get that show that people are really progressing. And I, for one, am progressing. And this show will be evidence of something right now that I'm going to put a lot of stock into and a lot of time into, and just really redo some things and sharpen up and just tweak some things as far as always speaking and revealing from your heart what is the true intent of your heart and being accurate. So again, I appreciate BJ being here tonight, so that if you do have an email or a text message, he'll be able to receive that. And I know he's in good company here with Ranger, but I just want to let you know that I apologize as well. We're going to have a good show, and this is somewhat of what we're going to be talking about, BJ, just about being accurate.
Well, it's more than just being accurate. It's people have a real bad habit of saying things for all the right reasons, but yet they don't think it through, and they don't have any real backbone. They're weak.
Right.
They'll say, well, Yeah, I'm going to call you right away. I'll be there in a few minutes. This is very important to me. And then that is something that someone counts on, and they basically, and there's no other way to put it, it is a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an untruth. It's false. And they say it with good intentions, and they really want it to come true, but yet they don't. Well, and this is a very serious thing that keeps people from really being a true Christian.
Don't you think it even counts as a lie, even if someone else that you're talking to doesn't necessarily know what you're feeling on the inside, but you're saying one thing and you're meaning actually another?
Well, yeah, people do this in their lives every day.
Right.
And there's a lot of people doing it now, tonight. Oh, that was a wonderful gift. It's great.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Oh, I have a lot of uses for this. This is really nice.
You know, this is really a great subject.
This is wonderful turkey.
Yeah. Well, most turkey is good, though.
No. People screw up turkey really bad.
Really?
Yeah. I know a lot of people that you really need to soak your turkey in the bathtub before you can eat it because it's all dried out and overcooked.
No. Well, I haven't had too much of that. But here's something that I find, and this is really big around the church. And, of course, this is why we're saying this. And I've fallen prey to this a lot. And that is, and this is something that I made a change even the other day, and just going to continue to make changes right here because I saw this to be so detrimental. And that is you try to accommodate people. Which is nothing more than really compromise. You're not it comes back to not being truthful to yourself. But you do that a lot, and it happens a lot at church.
Well, no, it doesn't happen at church. It happens at buildings and structures.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Yeah, there's a big difference because at a real church, it doesn't occur. It happens in organized religion at buildings and structures around the globe where they take excerpts and they take excerpts from the Bible, they take scripture, and they make it palatable for everyone. They water it down so that they won't offend anybody and that it can apply to everyone. It's like buying a pair of surgical gloves, one size fits all. And you don't know what's the right or the left because there is no right or left. They're one size fits all, and there is no up or down or anything. It just supposed to fit everybody perfectly. And that's not Christianity. There isn't anything about Christianity that is like that, because it's about a humbling experience where you take your world and what you believe to be true, and you pick it apart, you dissect it.
Yeah, very much so. I mean,
and you get to a point where you say, you know, this really isn't working on any level. It's not working financially. It's not working socially. It's not working in my family or my personal relationships. But yet, when you look around, it isn't working for anybody.
Yeah, and I'm going to just share.
So that makes it seem like
it's okay.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, again, that goes back to the group concept that we've talked about. You know, I'm going to share this. It was Saturday, and I had left BJ a message about coming out to the ranch to do the show and all. And of course, it's not Saturday that we're actually doing it. It's Christmas Eve that we're recording this show in the morning here, but. It was Saturday, and I left a message to BJ. Basically, I think the message just said, anytime Saturday's good and Sunday morning is good.
Yeah, you said,
just let me know. And he called up and said, okay, well, Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And then I heed and hawed big time. And then, of course, I could sense his...
No, you didn't hear how you said okay, but then another phone call, you said, well, that isn't going to work because I've talk to my wife, and this isn't a good time. And
well,
I said,
no,
well,
I hadn't even talked to my wife. I just said I need to just kind of talk some things over, which is going to. But the whole concept was, and this is what struck me, because then BJ asked me, he said, hey, have I done anything wrong? Are you mad at me? And I said, no. And my frustration was that he was picking up on, I was mad at myself. I was starting to see something. And so we hung up the phone, and then I had to give you a call back later. And I finally figured it out, which is kind of ridiculous that it takes you that long to figure some of these things out. But I think it goes back to how many years you can go along and learn behavior that's wrong and really not pick up on it. Because like you just got through saying, if everybody else is kind of doing it, it's kind of the way that you learn.
Well, that's why there aren't very many churches and why there's so many buildings, because it's literally the blind leading the blind. Somebody will go to a university, they'll get a piece of paper that says that they're now closer to God than an average person, and that they can preach a message and help people, and their entire education and their own personal experiences are twisted and miscombobulated.
Yeah.
Because it's wrong.
Yeah.
And if somebody disagrees, well, it's real easy. How's that working?
Right.
Because if you say, well, sometimes my prayers are answered, sometimes they're not. Sometimes I see miracles happen, sometimes I don't. Well, if it's on again, off again, or sporadic, or mm-hmm. it isn't 100% all the time, then that's your fault. That's the person's fault. Because there is nothing in the Bible that says sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get your way, sometimes you don't. It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Because then that means that God isn't perfect, and that he can't do anything, anytime, anywhere. That he has limits, that he has boundaries.
Yeah, he's not consistent then.
But see, the problem is that in people's lives, nobody feels they have any control. They feel they have to answer to their boss, their husband, their wife, their mom, their dad, their neighbors, their employer, everybody, the government with taxes. Everybody feels like they have no real control over their lives. They feel that there are always outside influences that really dictate what they eat, when they go to bed, and where they go and what they do with their money. There's a total loss of freedom. And so since they feel they really don't have a choice, that they really can't have expectations, and they're born into this environment. And this is what they see in their parents,
yeah,
and their friends, in books, movies, television, songs. This is what becomes reality. So when they pick up a Bible and it talks about expect everything, and ask and you shall receive, and all prayers are granted, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
But yet they have no common, everyday thing to compare it to.
There's no common denominator, is there?
Well, it doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
It just sounds great.
Yeah.
So then what happens is they end up in a building with a couple hundred people on a Sunday morning in their church clothes and their church shoes. And they hold hands and they sing songs, but yet it never goes anywhere. I mean, you could be gone for 6 months and come back, and people say, I'm glad I'm here, because it's just like when I left.
Right.
There's nowhere in the travels and scriptures of Jesus' events, there's no mention anywhere in the Bible where it's finished, other than in Revelations. And so to think that there is, you've made it, you're baptized, you're saved, you're reborn, you're worshiping in a building somewhere, and that you finally made it, and that's all there is, that's part of the problem.
Right.
Because that goes directly to what you really think and feel because of what you say. People can't read minds, because if they did, they'd be beating the snot out of each other on a regular
yeah.
basis.
Yeah.
And people compromise. I've got to do this because my boss told me to, even though I know it's wrong. I know that this is wrong. I know it's dishonest, but I need this job. I have to do this. So that's how they justify doing something that is not Christian-like.
Right.
That possibly hurts somebody on a telephone they've never met. And they know, and the person on the phone is saying, you know this is wrong. You really think you're treating me correctly? You really think you shouldn't give me my money back? Honestly, just me and you, you know. And they say, there's nothing I can do. I'm just doing my job. And then they hang up the phone and they feel bad. But then they justify that because they need their job. Well, they do they do this in their mind. At that moment in time when they justify that to keep their job because they think about bills, college funds, and money, when they do that, they have disconnected themselves from Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's all over in Scripture. It says, don't worry about anything.
Right, right.
If you give yourself to me, and if you act accordingly, and you do the best that you can, grace is going to pick up more than the slack. I mean, to be a real Christian, you need to be really lazy, because grace wants to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's effortless.
Yeah, to get out of the way. Well, I want to share with everybody, you know, I was thinking about some things, and I called BJ up Saturday afternoon, and I said, hey, I feel like I've discovered something, and I'll share this with you folks. You know, you can know some truths, but not actually act on them. You can know the gist of a truth, but not put it into practice. I've preached on some of these things before, I shared thoughts along these ways, but had just allowed myself to, just like we're talking, you get into little ruts and habits where you start letting little things creep in, and it's always the little things. It's not something big. So here's the conversation. I said, BJ, I said, you know, because I got off the phone and he had made the comment. He said, this is supposed to be fun. Why are we struggling? And I thought to myself the same thing. And I said, you know, the reason why we're struggling, tell me if I'm right. I said to you anytime Saturday, but it's obvious I didn't really mean anytime Saturday. But you took it to mean anytime Saturday. And that's where the rub was.
Why wouldn't I? I asked you, and you even offered that in a voice message.
Exactly. And that's my point.
That's the only information I have to go on.
Right. And that was my point. You took me accurately, exactly at what I said, and I wasn't speaking as accurately as I should have. And so immediately then I realized, well, there's the problem right there. If I would have said, okay, anytime Saturday up until 5 o'clock, if I would have said Sunday, anytime from the morning till noon, if I would have made it specific, and then there it is.
See, people don't, you have to realize something, that there's a scripture in the Bible somewhere that says that if you think, and listen to this carefully, if you're going to, It hasn't happened yet. You haven't done anything. Nobody even knows you're having these thoughts of stealing. Cut your hand off. Nobody knows you're having these thoughts. You haven't done anything. You could be half asleep in your bed, and you're thinking bad thoughts about somebody, and you're thinking about talking and spreading rumors. But it hasn't happened yet. And no one knows what you're thinking when you're looking at somebody. You're looking at another man, another woman. You're looking at somebody's car because it's better than yours. Or somebody got a better Christmas gift. Or you wanted the turkey leg. Whatever. And nobody knows you're having these thoughts because you have a smile and you're having a conversation. But yet you have these negative things happening in your mind and in your heart. That is the fertile seedbed of what sprouts sin.
Yeah.
And these are really small, minute things, because
right.
If you think that you have major trouble in your life, you don't. You can't, because nothing negative comes from God. Nothing positive comes from Satan or negative energy or hell. It means that you, as a flesh being are building, constructing, and designing something that is really not in your best interest. By sheer definition, that means that it's a shadow. It's weak. It has no power.
Right. And,
but yet, you let it be. You think it does. It's like holding up a piece of paper to stop a bullet because you figure that it, since you're holding it up and the bullet is going to hit it, the bullet isn't going to sail right through the paper. That's literally how ridiculous we are in our thinking and how we apply our Christianity.
Yes.
And this is then reflected in our actions, because our actions and what comes out of our mouth is a direct result of what's in our heart and our minds. It's words and actions are like the sails on a sailboat, and our feelings and our thoughts are the wind that fill those sails.
Yeah, that's good.
And if it's a positive wind, it goes in a positive direction. If it's a heavy storm and it's filled full of rain, sleet, and snow, or in other words, you have bad intentions and bad thoughts, it's an ill wind, but it still fills the sails. That, now, where in that equation is Christ and Satan? Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally in the stands, in the bleachers, watching you. They both have their fingers crossed. God is hoping that you do something positive and that you have positive thoughts so that grace can come and help you.
Yeah.
And the devil's in the bleachers with his fingers crossed saying, you know, I like the fact you're good at this. You're really making people mad and upset, and you're really hurting yourself and others. This is wonderful. I really like watching this because he doesn't have to lift a hand. Whose fault is this?
Yes. Very good. I've got a scripture to back that up over here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsels you have eaten you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words." And then it goes on to say some other things too. But I'm going to read that again, verse 7. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And then it shows you here that his heart, he's saying one thing, but he means another.
Which book is that out of?
That's Proverbs.
No. I mean, which book? Which kind of book?
Proverbs chapter 23.
No. What kind of a book? Is that King James or what is it?
Oh. Okay. Yes, the New King James.
Well, find it in that other book that like talks in more modern words.
Language. Okay.
Yeah, find it in that other one that is, you know, because sometimes... See, I want, and I'll give you an example of intentions of a heart. The other day, I was fixing some fence, and this girl in her early 20s pulled over, and she knows who I am. She's got horses, and I sell her hay. And she says, "Can I ask you a question?" And I says, "Yeah." And she says, "I've heard some things about your prayers always work and how, you know, you're a Christian." And I says, "Well, you know, those are just rumors. You can't believe what you hear." and she says, "Well, I'm getting married." And I says, "You are?" And then I says, "Well, who are you marrying?" And I knew, because they've been dating each other for like 10 years. And I says, "Well, I was just wondering if you'd trade it up or anything." You know, my sense of humor. She's shaking her head and telling me what a bad man I am. And then she says, "Can I ask you a question?" I says, "Yeah." She says, "I'm getting married in my fiance's family's church." And I said, "Okay." She says, "And I have to go to marriage counseling." And I go, "Okay." And she says, "You know," she says, "you always look at things differently than most people." And she says, "The guy who, the minister of this church, he's been married twice. And he's been divorced twice, and now he's on his third marriage."
Hmm.
And she says, that sounds kind of weird. And I says, "Can I ask you a question?" And I says, "Yeah." And I said, if you wanted someone to bake you cookies, and I says, "Who would you want to bake you cookies? Someone who burns cookies and has, or someone who's never burnt cookies? And she says, well, never burnt cookies. And I said, so if I was going to get marriage counseling, I'd want to talk to somebody who had made it work for 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
Who could say, oh, it's a nightmare, but you can make it work. And they can show you that it's a tough road, but it's a wonderful, amazing adventure. But someone who's been married three times, I says, exactly what kind of marriage counseling they're supposed to give you? I says, what examples do they have? What's their track record? And she says, yes, she says, that's exactly it. She says, I just didn't know how to put it. And she says, well, what if it makes people upset? And I says, let me ask you another question. If somebody's going to be mad, would you rather it be you or someone else? She goes, well, someone else. I said, if someone has to be sick, who would you rather be? Would you rather be sick or someone else? And she goes, someone else.
Right.
And I said, well, if someone isn't going to get their way, who would you rather it be, someone else or you? And she goes, well, someone else. And I says, there you go. I said, this is your marriage, your wedding.
Right.
And I says, if you do something that doesn't sit well with you, I says, you're really starting off what is supposed to be a lifelong commitment, and it really isn't starting off in your favor. I said, life is tough enough without hauling around a bunch of ridiculous baggage. Now, apply this story to where you worship and how effective it is and exactly what's accomplished by it. You know, time and time again, we've said on Jim's radio show that the greatest compliment we can have is when someone says, I'm there.
Right.
I'm home. My prayers are being answered. I have conversations with God. Thank you very much, but I don't need to listen anymore. And we've had one person do that. If someone feels in their heart that they want to listen to this radio show for the rest of their lives, they're not getting it.
Right.
And by the way, folks, I want to take a second to tell you that if you email the show tonight on December 25th, that I'm here. Me and Ranger are in the barn, and it's all one word, lowercase, the abiding presence at gmail.com. You can find that on the show's website, how to contact us. I'll read the emails and answer you. Now, we do have text messaging. Some of you enjoy that. And you have to make sure that the first word of your message is one word, no space, J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J. And then the number that you text to is 69302. We don't answer texts, but Ranger and I will be reading those. And right now on this night, even though we've pre-recorded this show before Christmas on Monday morning, right now it is supposed to be, unless I've had technical difficulty, right now it'll be just around 8:30, December 25th, just to give you a little action that Ranger and I are in here. Now, did you find that in that other
yes.
book? What's that other name of that book?
It's the Message Bible.
And what chapter and verse is it?
Proverbs 23 and verse 7 and 8, it says, this is different, so I have to back up to verse 6. It says, don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special. He'll be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat and drink, but won't mean a word of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
His miserly serving will turn your stomach when you realize the meal's a sham.
And what they're talking about there is, and this goes exactly to what we're talking about. Don't worry. I know it sounds bad, but I'm going to do anything and everything I can to help you out of this. And then all of a sudden you find yourself saying, well, I know that's what I said, but you don't understand. This is more than I can handle.
Right.
I just can't be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then think of that person, what you've just done to them. You've pulled the rug out for underneath them because they thought they had support. They thought that they had a backstop, a parachute, that whether it's emotional or financial, they thought that there was something of a positive nature. And then when they told you more of what the drama was, you realized that you didn't want to be a part of it or you couldn't. Well, then you backed out. Well, then you don't understand why they're mad at you. Because from their perspective, you were dishonest. You were not forthcoming. It's like being cut with a piece of glass, or you're being cut with a very sharp knife. When you're cut with a very sharp knife, it's just a nice, neat little slice. A lot of times, if you bandage it correctly, you don't even need stitches because the skin goes right back to its shape.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you're cut with a jagged piece of glass, the skin is torn like fabric, and it's at a zigzag in all angles, and even some of the tissue is missing. And even no matter what you do, there seems to be left with a scar. Well, you can apply this to your actions that are, for every action, there's a reaction.
Right.
So it's more like your reactions. What you say is a reaction to your thoughts and your feelings. What you do is a reaction to your thoughts and to your feelings. So if you're true to the Christian message, if you're true to Christ and grace is helping you, everything you do, everything you say is going to be supported by Christianity, which means that no matter what you say, where you are, what happens, if it does seem to go negatively for someone, it's going to be that precise surgical incision.
Yes, yes. And you know, I wanted to add here, BJ, and then get your thoughts on this too. You know, when we look at this, and we said earlier, you know, this is small little things. And here's, I'm giving you a lot of personal testimony here tonight just because it really rang my bell the other day. You know, it's one of those wake-up calls. Because for the most part, what I say is what I do. But then there's little discrepancies here and there, just like we're talking about. So now I look at some things concerning ministry, and then concerning my personal life. And really, when I think about it, as far as ministry is concerned, when I'm actually speaking, when I'm actually praying for people, you know, every bit of that is honed in, and 100% intent of my heart is to see every bit of what I'm saying come to pass. In fact, just the other day, it was Friday morning, I had to get up to receive a call from Iran, or Iran, however you say it, and there was a an elderly gentleman there, he and his wife, who wanted prayer, and they had a daughter who spoke some English, and they have a daughter over here in North Dakota who just received the Lord Jesus just recently, and her parents are Muslim and the Islamic faith. And so she wanted her dad because she found out about our show and about what we do, that God heals, or that people don't have to be in the conditions that they're in. And her dad had a serious eye problem, glaucoma on the eyes, and then he had a kidney disease. And he's scheduled like in 3 days to have an operation for his kidneys. And then, of course, his eyesight is failing. And so she called and asked if I would pray for them. And I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. So we set this up, and the daughter that's in Iran, she made the phone call, and she did the interpreting. And I prayed for this man's eyes. I prayed for this man as far as his kidneys were concerned. And I prayed for the mother, that she would receive just a blessing. That's what they wanted me to pray over her life. Well, I mean, within the course of 30 minutes, actually, it was a 30 minutes, I received the first text that said, my mother, from the moment you prayed, could sense something warm coming all over her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Well, that's exactly what I prayed. And then within the hour, they rushed off to the doctor to get his eyes checked. And the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. They're completely clear. And then the testimony came back, and my father knows now that Jesus is the one that did this, and that his kidneys are going to be fine also, and he won't need to have the operation. All right, this is a great testimony. It's good. My point is, look at the intent that was involved, because for the most part, whenever I minister, I'm very accurate with what I'm saying, or there's my words are careful. They're full of life. Well, then I look back at my life, and I see the little discrepancies where you let little things get in there, and you say something and don't necessarily mean it. And that's where you look at my personal life, and then my prayers have been on and off, see. I've had a lot of prayer success, but it hasn't been as it should. Now, recently it has.
As far as Christianity concerned, there is no difference between your life, your ministry life, and your personal life.
Well, I understand
it's
that.
It's just one person.
I get that. But what I'm saying is how you apply yourself. And I'm seeing a pattern. And that's one of the reasons why this whole subject became, you know, an alarm to me. And I realized, wow, Jim, it's time to just do a little bit of checking up here and a little changing. And then the scriptures that I found to back up what we're talking about helps to reveal the very thought that we're sharing, which is, you know, your heart is what is going to control your outcome.
Yeah, I think it's last couple of days I've been going to town, doing some things for people, trying to help them out that asked for some help. And I was talking to these people, and they said how their church is building a room on. And the building fund is doing good, and they know that. And I says, well, why do you think where you go is successful? And she says, well, they're building on to the building, and our pastor was talking about how blessed we are because his family just got a brand new SUV, and I said, okay. And then I said, what did you call me into town for? And he says, well, I didn't want to ask you over the phone. And I said, but we had an emergency a couple months ago, and we've had to pay off the ambulance and the ER, and we're just a little short. And I says, oh, you want money for presents? No, our family's already decided that we don't need presents, but it would be nice to have a special meal, you know, instead of just meatloaf or, you know, pizza
right.
or something.
Right.
We'd kind of like to have a Christmas dinner, but it just isn't in our budget because I wanted to pay all these medical bills so it wouldn't affect my credit. And I said, well, have you called this place where you go, where they're building on, and the guy's got a new SUV? Have you asked them for help? Well, I did tell them our situation, and they said they were going to pray for us. And I says, really? And I said, and well, you know, I don't have a family.
Right.
It's just me, Ranger, and the horses. So when I grocery shop, you know, I can spend $50-$60, and that'll last me a week and a half or something.
Sure.
You know, I just don't, you know.
Right.
You know, because $50-$60, that's a lot of candy. And and so I said, I'm really sorry, but I says, I'm ignorant. I says, well, how much does it cost for, you know, Christmas dinner for a you know, your family? You know, they got three kids and a husband and a wife, and you know, and I said, you got anybody else? And they go, well, you know, my mother-in-law, you know. And I said, okay. And I says, well, how much does that cost to go to a grocery store and do this? You know, and she told me, and I go, you're kidding me. You know, it was like a couple hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, oh my gosh. And I said, yeah, this is one more reason to stay single. You know, and she just said, you're so bad. You know, she says, you're so bad. And I says, you know, I says, if something at the ranch eats too much, that just means they got worms and I worm them. saves money on hay. Well, I went ahead and I said, come on. I said, let's go to the grocery store. I got to go to the grocery store anyway. And so I just filled up their shopping cart. You know, I said,
right.
whatever. You know,
right.
when we went through the line, you know, I said, you know, I'm paying for both of these shopping carts. And But that kills me. That the place that they go, that they bank on, where worship with their connection with God, has all that money, but yet can't afford $285 and some odd cents for someone who and I asked. I said, I don't want to know, but I says, do you like give them money when you go there every week? And I go, yeah. I just looked at her and I didn't want to, you know.
Sure.
I just left it alone.
Right.
And she says, what? She says, why? And I says, well, you know me, I'm just nosy. You know, and I'm just thinking to myself, there is, and I thought, this is a problem. And it's a systemic problem that isn't just in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's around the planet.
Sure it is.
And they don't see it. They don't see that they're literally getting misrepresented Christianity. Now, one twisted way to look at this that I don't really like is that, well, the prayers were answered because, you know.
Right, sure.
I bought the food.
Right.
I don't like that. And I don't like that because I think that that's a worldly rationale showing God's love. Because that is a side delivery. That's like an underhand.
That's like a plan B.
It's like through the back door.
Right.
But yet they can, if they go to church and someone says, well, how was your Christmas? Oh, BJ, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And they go, see, isn't God wonderful? See how your prayers are answered?
Right.
That just makes me want to throw up.
Sure.
And it goes to what we're talking about.
Yes, it does.
It goes directly because at least once a week for what? How long do these things last? Hour, hour and a half?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So let's do the math there. Let's just say that you go once a week for an hour and a half times 52. That's 78 hours. Now, they told me that they've been going there for 8 years. So we'll take 78 times 8. That's 624 hours of their life.
Right.
Of mismessage. Now, let's divide that by 24 hours. 26 days, that's almost a month. That means that over the last 8 years, 26 days of their life was literally 24 hours, 7 days a week of misrepresentation. Now, if people do the math on their own,
sure,
and they start thinking about what they hear and where it comes from and exactly what it produces, because if you're going someplace to worship and the furniture's getting better, the parking lot's getting resurfaced, the roof is in good shape, and the band is getting new instruments, and the people running the place are driving really nice new vehicles, and life seems to be good, and they're talking about their vacations, but yet your life is the same, where do you question the efficiency of the message? Because this is what we're talking about. It's about what you hear and what you see and exactly what it accomplishes. Because if I say, I'm going to call you right back, and 3 hours goes by, that's not right back.
No, not at all.
And so for 3 hours, somebody festers and stews.
Well, yeah.
And so through your good intentions,
right,
whatever it is, you have literally taken 3 hours and upset somebody. Now, where is that in Scripture that's acceptable?
No, and this is where, in fact, let me put a couple scriptures to back this up here. This is why we're doing this show here, folks. This is really, really good stuff.
And well, we're doing the show because we do a show every Tuesday.
Well, yes, yes. This is why we're talking about this subject today. Here on Psalm 12 and verse 2, listen to what it says. It says, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak.
There you go.
That's good. Psalm, I'm going to just read a few of them here. I wrote down a bunch of them. Psalm 34, 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And the reason why I like that one is because of the word deceit.
Yeah.
Deceit means you're saying one thing, but you don't mean it.
See, and no, I don't know of very many jobs. Do I know you? Can I even think of a job? I don't know of very many places in modern society. I mean, December 25th, 2012, and it's about 14 minutes from 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time on Christmas night. I don't know of many places on the face of the planet where your feet are held to the fire to put up or shut up and do exactly what you say.
Right.
Other than like in prison.
Okay.
You know, where words are everything. You know, and you know, you can die at a heartbeat
right.
just because you look at somebody wrong. But I mean in the average person's life, I just don't know where precision of words comes into play. Semantics does.
I think you're right. I don't think there's anywhere.
Well, if there isn't, or let's say that it's really uncommon
right.
and rare, how's someone supposed to figure that out?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's nothing but
learned
behavior.
You can't really blame somebody.
No, you can't. Look at some of these other verses here. I think you'll like this. I like this one. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I like that. That's somebody who's figuring it out, in my opinion.
It kind of goes to all your friends and the people that you went to school with and do the same thing that you do. They can't stand this show. They hate it. And they can't stand it. They don't like me either. But what's real interesting is they don't say we're wrong.
No.
They don't say the show is wrong. They don't say the show is giving bad information. They don't say that I'm full of crap. They don't say I'm a liar. They don't say that I'm wrong. They just don't like the show, and they don't like what the show does to people because it calls into question the realism. Do you recall the conversation that we had about you doing a radio show? And I said, you could have a radio show that would rake in the bucks. And I said, but I won't be a part of it.
Right.
I said, you can do the show. I'll help you do the show, but I won't talk on it. I won't want anybody to know that I have anything to do with it, but you could do something, you know, to rake in the bucks. You know, like send me $10 and I'll send you a piece of bed sheet, you know, that, you know, I've sprinkled, you know, tap water on or something.
Right.
Or I said, or you can really do something that is powered by God.
Right.
That is spot on perfect. And it'll take care of itself and it'll work.
Yeah, I remember that.
What did you choose, by the way?
I chose the right choice.
By the way.
But that's a track record for me. I've never let money become my motivator. So if, for instance, in anything, if it was ever I could fight for an extra $10, I'd say forget it. Just, you know,
well,
because
see,
I never let that become my motivator.
That's one reason why I'm single. I'm not materialistic. I mean, I'd rather dance in the alleyway in my barn than go to town and dance in a smoky bar.
I did ask you the other day if you danced, and you said, yeah, of course.
I'm a great dancer. I've taught a lot of people, well, not people, I've taught a lot of women and to dance. The other day I taught a 17-year-old. She said that she's going to a New Year's Eve party and it's a barn dance.
Right.
And she says, I need to know how to two-step. So I taught her how to two-step. I said, do you want to learn how to waltz? And she says, yeah. So I taught her how to two-step. I taught her how to waltz. I taught her how to do the country swing. And I said, there you go.
Wow.
And she says, do I owe you anything? And I says, well, absolutely. I says,
that's a dumb question.
I says, of course. And she started laughing, and she went over to her pickup truck, you know, a little cowgirl barrel racer. Uh-huh. She had a whole sack full of Kit Kat candy bars.
Oh,
and she says, well, this was going to be your Christmas gift. And I says, this is okay. It can do both.
But, that's great.
But she asked me a question, And she says, I'm really upset. And I says, why are you upset? And she says, I just wish people would do what they say.
Yeah.
And I says, well, what are you talking about? She says, well, it doesn't matter. And she says, but it just seems like people say things to say things, but they just don't back them up. And she says, I really hate that.
Yeah, it's very easy to do.
I thought that was ironic.
I thought it's really good. I was at a service the other day, and someone came up to me. This just gives you a little example. Someone came up to me, and they got my phone number and said they're going to be sending me text messages because there's a group of guys that meet together, you know, for lunch once a week, and they'd love for me to be a part of that group, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's really not, and I'm just being honest with you folks,
right,
as you're listening, there's really nothing and not even a hair of me that wanted to be a part of that. But I didn't say that. I said, well, fine, you can text me. That's okay. Well, okay, so yesterday this person came up and said, are you getting our text messages?
Oh, man.
But now, see, I've already made a change.
Right.
Because these are little things.
Yes.
And you don't have to take long to make changes.
No, but they'll
this.
Be interpreted as big on their end.
Well, sure. This is what I said. I said, yes, I have been getting your text messages. I said, but I do not want to come to the group. And then he said to me, he kind of, you know, mouth opened, you know, kind of said, well, you know, we really do have a good time, and so on and so forth. And I said, yeah, but that's not what I consider to be a good time.
Yeah.
And then it went a little further. And he went on to say, well, there's a fellow there that does what you do, and he's 77 years old, and he really has a great, you know, wonderful things happen in his ministry, and he's really out there, you know. And so I would just love for you to be able to come and meet him. I said, and this is where inside I'm checking the whole time my heart, because I'm not going to say anything
wrong.
Right. I'm not going to violate my heart. So I said to him, I said, you know, I'm not coming to the meeting to meet this guy. I said, but if you think we really should meet, he said, I do. I have a witness in my heart. I said, okay. I said, then I don't have a problem at all meeting you and this man for coffee.
Yeah.
I said, and I have a good feeling in my heart about that. And if you want to arrange it, I would.
So how'd that go over?
He got all excited.
Yeah,
and he said, I'm gonna go ahead and I said, text me and let me know when. And I said, and I'll be thrilled to do it.
You know, it's really hard work being nice and respectful and loving to others. That's why I hate to do it. Because it's tough.
It is.
You know, it's tough being a good person. I try to avoid it whenever possible by just, you know, keeping, you know, staying in the country. But the interesting thing about all this, folks, is that think about your own life and where you are with this. And you know what? I'll bet you a shiny dime after the show's over, I can tell you this. But I want to give you another example of what Jim's talking about and what the philosophy to really have the attitude that you need to have. This is over a year ago, and it was at the building where I met Jim. And where I found out that, you know, God is more apparent than the Easter Bunny. And these guys came up, and it was after the horse's eye. It was after the cat had been brought back to life. It was after the guy with on the motorcycle accident. Remember all that stuff, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
It was all after those prayers had been answered, and it was after remember the woman with the neck whose neck was warm for a couple hours?
In one of our meetings, Thursday night meeting.
Yeah, one of your meetings. It was all after that. This guy comes up to me, and he says, you know, BJ, he says, we've been dying to ask you something. And I says, well, ask. And they says, well, every Monday night we get together, and we have a men's group.
Yeah.
And I said, and they did this in the building, and well, you know my sense of humor. And I said, well, I don't like to go to strip bars because I go home smelling like cigarette joke, and it's just a waste of money. And he goes, what? No, we don't. No, we would never, you know. Mm-hmm. And I smile, and he goes, oh. He says, the things you say, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm just being, you know, my regular, you know, wiseacre self. And he says, no. And he says, well, I says, what's the purpose of you guys getting together? And he says, well, we get together every Monday night to fellowship to learn how to be a man. And I said, what? And he says, we get together every Monday night here in this building for about an hour, hour and a half, to learn how to be men. And I looked at him, and he could see that I was perplexed. I think I might have gave him the dog look. You know, the mouth is a little open, you tilt your head, because right. Ranger does that sometimes. You know, I talk to Ranger like right. She's a human being, and sometimes I say something, and Ranger tilts her head, and her mouth kind of opens up like, you know, what? And I'm sure I gave him the dog look because he looked really perplexed. And he says, well, we get together and we help each other to be men and support each other. And he says, what do you think? And I said, I've been on my own since I was a teenager. I've been self-employed for 38 years. I run and operate a large ranch by myself. I'm 50-something years old. I'm a man. I've been a man since I was in my early 20s. I says, how old are you? And you're still not a man? And he gave me a dog look.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, and this is what he said. He says, well, I guess that means you don't want to come. And I says, why would I want to be? That's literally what he said. And I looked at him and I says, why would I want to come to a meeting where there are a bunch of guys sitting around a table trying to be men? I says, really? I says, you really need to evaluate what you're thinking.
Yeah, right.
And I just walked away. And then I heard him. He said to the other guy, and he says, well, he said no in his own way. but see, folks, and here's the message here. Think of it. Here's a group of guys that are getting together once a week on a Monday night. And they're trying to be, quote unquote, better men, trying to be better Christians. And they're trying to help each other and support each other. But look at their attitude.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at what the testimony of this situation really says. Because at first, it sounds great. It sounds like those are guys that are really headed in the right direction. That's the problem. Because that's a worldly, positive doctrine, religious attitude.
Point of view, yeah.
Because if you're saved and you're reborn and you have a relationship with God and you're striving to have more enlightenment and have better efficiency with your communication with God, otherwise known as prayers that are always answered, and grace is helping you, that group is not a positive direction.
Right, right.
Because you're acknowledging your flaws.
Yeah, your flesh.
You're acknowledging the flesh. You're acknowledging the tangibility of negative issues.
Right. It's the same principle involved in saying, let's have a healing meeting, which is acknowledging and everybody's right. sick.
And I said, why don't you change the name of your meetings to, there's really nothing wrong.
And that's what we did with the last one.
And I told you, and I joke about it, people think it's really funny, and they say, well, BJ, you know, you should start your own church. And I go, oh no. I said, nobody'd come. I says, they might come out of curiosity, like, you know, look at the bear in the zoo kind of thing. But I said, nobody's going to come more than once, because I'm going to offend them or insult them or say something, and they're just going to stop off and say, you know, I should have done laundry. But I said, if I ever did, or if I was going right. to go somewhere, I says, I know what the sign I'd want it to say. And he says, what? And I says, the church.
No, you said bought and paid for.
Bought and paid for, the church of the unconcerned.
That's right. That's right.
And they go, oh, you can't call it that. And then I says, and then they think about it and they go, that's really good.
That's good. You sure it is.
Yeah, bought and paid for, the church of the unconcerned. Because what do you have to be concerned about?
Right.
Our sins were paid for by Jesus' blood.
Right.
All of our sins are forgiven. Ask and you shall receive. Does that sound like there's really a big to-do list for a Christian?
No. Let me give you some scripture.
I want
here
some more. Do you have more of those Psalms?
Yes. I'll give you some more of those. This is not a Psalm here. It's Proverbs. You'll really like this. It says Proverbs 10:19. This is actually really good. Solomon was a very wise man. He said, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Boy, that's good, isn't it?
Yep.
But he who restrains his lips is wise.
Well, and somewhere, that's I don't good. Know where, but I want you to look it up in a little bit, is somewhere in the book, one of those books you walk around with, it talks about people when they pray using too many words.
Yeah.
Or big fancy words.
Right.
It talks about how that isn't necessary or wrong. Or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
But read another one. What do you got? What else you got?
Proverbs 12:22, and then I got to read you one after that too, your love. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, you know.
And that goes back to just how accurate he is. Every word that he speaks out of his mouth, he performs.
I was, this is many years ago, I was at a cattle sale in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, back in the, what would that have been, back in the mid-80s. And it was the dead of winter, and there was a lot of people and greasy hamburgers. And if you've never been to a cattle sale, you've never had a real hamburger. And I was at this cattle sale. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cattle sales are the greatest hamburgers in the world. And I was at this cattle sale. I was eating a cheeseburger, and I was talking to a couple guys, and this guy came up. And he was introducing himself, and he was shaking every hand. And next to me was this old farmer. I mean, he was, I mean, you know, he probably sold the lumber to Noah to build the ark. I mean, this guy was real old, and he weighed about as much as my hamburger. Small, little, skinny old guy, smoked like a train, smelled like cigarettes and bourbon, and he had an old pair of bibbed overalls on.
Okay.
And you know, you get the idea.
Sure.
You know, he's about 5'9", you know, his hat's thicker than his waist. And he's been around forever, and he really knows his cows, and everybody knows him. And this guy stuck his hand out, and he said, "Forgive me, but I don't know you, and I'm very careful with who I shake hands." And the guy said, "Okay," and then I was sitting next to him, and I thought about that. And about an hour went by, and I says, "You know," he says, "I kind of like that, but why'd you do that?" And he says, when you shake somebody's hand, he says, you're accepting them. And he says, I don't know him. He says, what if he just robbed a bank? What if he's a cattle thief?
Right.
And I says, you don't know. And I says, a handshake is supposed to be something of honor.
I like that.
I did too. And I said, that was pretty good. And and then so somebody else came by, and you know, guy stuck his hand out, and I says, I don't shake hands. And so the guy went on, and he kind of leaned over, and he says, son, he says, I know you. He says, I know your reputation. He says, you got to dial it back a little bit.
That old guy said that to you?
Yeah. He says, I know you. He said, in the way he talks, he says, I know you chew it pretty fine. He says, but, you know, he says, sometimes he says, you're kind of a little too coarse to people. And I says, I don't care. And he says, I know. He says, that's part of the problem. But, read some Psalms here that kind of go to this.
I got the scripture that helps to verify the other scripture that we read. It's over in Matthew 6:6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words.
Now, see, there's some interesting things in this that go to what we're talking about. We, over the last 4 months of this show, we've brought up a word, individualism, a personal relationship with Christ. And there's things in this message that I'm going to want you to read this again, but slower. There's a couple of words in here that people seem to just fly right over, that they don't understand that it really applies to different areas in Scripture and to the relationship with God. So read that again.
I'll read it again, but do you want me to try it in the message to see what it says?
Yeah.
It says, here's what I want you to do. find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God.
Now stop. Okay. One version says go in your room and close the door.
Right.
And pray in secret.
Right.
And this one says go somewhere where you won't role play.
Right.
What they're both saying is that it's so easy to be distracted.
Yeah.
And to get off on the wrong foot.
And then to be persuaded by others too.
By influenced. Others. And this is by either individuals or organizations or groups.
Right.
That's what they're talking about. They're talking about, folks, we're talking about the intimacy of a relationship with your Father, with Christ. And how it's your relationship. And this is important because so many of you that listen to this show, you feel like you have to do it secretively because your Christianity isn't accepted by other people in your life or even in your own home. And maybe by your husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend or mom or dad, they don't like that you're doing this. This is your validation that you're on the right road and that you're on the right path. And this also speaks to what we're talking about. The sincerity of your actions comes from your thoughts. Go on.
You'll like this. It's Matthew 6, verse 6 through 9. I'll read verse 6 again. It says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace.
See, simply and honestly.
Yes.
And then it says, then you will shift from the world.
The focus will shift from you.
From the flesh to your spirit.
Right. And you'll begin to sense His what?
That's
grace.
His grace. See, there's a recipe here, folks.
And more, the next part is really great, too. Verse 7 says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant.
Yeah.
They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply.
What they're saying there is they're saying that organizations, building structures, even something as wonderful sounding as a Bible study group or a men's group on a Monday night at 7, whatever it is, they're talking about how you can get so wrapped up in the recipe that you never finally bake. You don't cook anything.
Right.
Think of it this way. It's like being part of a band. You worship the instruments, but you never even play a note.
Yeah. Yeah, what good is that, right?
And where's the productivity? They're talking here. They're saying that, look, to have productivity, to experience grace, and remember, grace is the love of God. The hand of God is grace. To have that and to see it and to let it do what it needs to do, all this is saying two things. Sit down, shut up, and get out of your own way. They're not saying that you have to pay anything, that you have to dress a certain way. They're saying just the opposite. Leave the world behind. Humble yourself. And it says be simply honest. Because that is repent. You don't have to say, I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. No, that doesn't accomplish anything. What the Christian message wants you to do is say, you know what? This is wrong.
Right. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. I like that too. Now here's one that I know you'll love. Proverbs 16:23-24. And listen to these words carefully. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So let's go back to verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips.
I like that.
Really, really good.
folks, I want you to think about that for a second. I want to tell you something right now. Right now, it's about 10 minutes after 9 o'clock here in Oklahoma on December 25th, Christmas night. Christmas is over. Aren't you glad? Most people are.
Yes, yes.
And Ranger and I, we're here in the barn. If you want to send a text message to Jim, I can forward it to him, and he'll get it tomorrow. It's just all one word, the lowercase, the abiding presence, all one word, at gmail.com. Ranger and I are here in the studio to make sure that this show is broadcast and then gets uploaded, and it'll stream 24/7 like all the other shows, and then put on the archives page on the Abiding Presence website. If you want to send a text message, your first word of your message has to be J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J, no space, no capitals, Jim B-J, Merry Christmas, Jim B-J, I'm listening. And I can't comment on those, but you can send a message to Ranger and I if you'd like. And then you send that, no area code, you send your text message to 69302. And remember that text messaging is only available on Tuesday nights during the show from 8 till 10. Want to get people into the habit of knowing that we have text messaging.
I like that.
You know, Jim, the there's a lot of proverbs, scripture, a lot of psalms. They all have basically one message that when you people don't want to hear this word gravy because they're full, but when you boil it down to gravy, it really comes down to just one thing. Walk the walk, talk the talk, back up what you say.
Yeah.
Because you can literally say, well, yeah, I think that dress you got for Christmas looks nice. And you're thinking, I never want her to wear that anywhere. Or, no, those Christmas blue jeans don't make your rear end look too big. And here's how we justify these things. We justify these little quote unquote white lies. We justify these dishonesties, and we do them to children. We do them to each other. We do them to strangers, and this is how we qualify it. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. If you can't say something positive, don't say something at all. And remember that we are creatures, quote unquote, of habit.
Right.
And so if you're 30, well, you've got about 25 years of this. If you're 50, well, you probably have about 45 years of this. You can do the math. By the time you're 5 years of age, you have seen adults and you're speaking pretty coherently and you're putting things together, and you can see where there's times where anything but honesty is not only appropriate, but it's acceptable. And unfortunately, this rationalization, this distortion, it literally floods in.
Sure it does.
To your inability, not ability, it's like a giant tidal wave.
Right.
It just washes right in to your relationship with God.
And I've got scriptures that backs that up exactly.
Because here's the point.
Yep.
You don't want to tell somebody that jeans make their rear end look bigger than my barn. I understand that. It'll cause a fight. It'll hurt their feelings. So you want to say, oh, they're nice. Merry Christmas. You have to understand something. From a spiritual standpoint, from a Christian God in heaven standpoint, they don't even recognize that there's jeans. They don't recognize that rear end is like two pigs wrestling under a sleeping bag, because that's flesh. That's worldly. That is pointless.
Hopefully people don't get caught up on trying to conceptualize the pigs wrestling.
Under a sleeping bag?
Yeah. All of a sudden I was just thought you about know, that for a moment, and I thought that. We better leave that one alone.
Somebody right now is having a turkey sandwich.
They
are,
and they just choked.
They just choked. And I just want you to know that at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cowboy and a chocolate lab in a barn, and we got the snickers and giggles because, well, I have to listen to the show.
Sure, you'll enjoy this part.
Yeah, but I have to listen to you and I talk.
I know.
Again.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Hey, listen to this scripture. Back up everything you've just said. Over here in James chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to read this first in the New King James, and then we'll read it in the Message. It says, "So then, my beloved brother," and remember, this is in reference to the Proverbs 16, 23 and 24, where it says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Notice what he's saying. He's saying, be swift to hear. Hear what? Hear as a spirit being, not as a flesh being, so that you talk as a spirit being, so that the intent of your heart is released, so that your prayer is answered. And he goes on to say, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves." Notice who deceived you. It wasn't Satan or negative energy. It was yourself, you. It says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You just got through saying, walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah, see, this is the one stumbling block that people have in their I guess you could call it a quest or a goal or a journey, whatever word you want to use, into being closer to God, or even having a relationship with God, even accepting the fact that God exists. I mean, you know, let's keep it simple. Because a lot of people question whether God exists, because why wouldn't they, when there's nothing in our reality that really shows that there is even a God, that there is such a thing as grace? Because people try to take scripture, they try to bring God and grace, and they try to mold it and to fit it into their day-to-day lives,
where they don't have to change and be responsible.
And yeah. And sometimes they do it unconsciously.
Yeah.
Because if you have an exchange student come from another country, well, they really pretty much have to mold themselves to what time everybody gets up, goes to bed, when meals are, and what the food is, because it's a completely different atmosphere and environment. It's like going from one world to another. If you live in Germany and all of a sudden you're an exchange student in Japan, you better get used to chopsticks and eating raw fish, because there's not going to be very much sauerkraut and bratwurst.
No.
And hello to Fred.
Yes.
Haven't said hi to Fred in Germany in a while.
Merry Christmas to Fred.
Hope Fred's doing good. And, well, it's that way when you're trying to use your thoughts, your passions, and your desires to have a relationship with God, because it literally is opposite. You're in your house and you walk outside and all of a sudden it's pouring rain. And you say, where did this come from? Because when I looked out the window, it wasn't raining. It's a total shock, a completely different environment. That's the way you need to look at Christianity. That because your human being, your flesh, is trying to communicate with God and trying to take advantage of grace, when in reality, nothing can be accomplished until you acknowledge the fact that you are a spirit being. It's literally the cart before the horse.
Yes.
Well, and you don't get any results, but so does everybody else.
That's right.
Everybody else fails, and the place you worship fails. So then what does this set a precedence for?
Right. Verse 26, I'm going to skip down there. I read verse 22. But verse 26 says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." And that's just what we've been talking about. And that's the reason for this show today, is to help you to see, let's not allow our hearts to be deceived.
The reason all sins are forgiven and is because in God's heart, He knows that we're all going to waver. That it's kind of like that kids dance, the hokey pokey, where you says, put your right foot in, put your right foot out, put your right foot in, shake it all about. It's kind of like God knows that human beings are going to have thoughts. It's everywhere. Don't let your thoughts control you. Don't let your words control you. Don't let your lips deceive you. It's there. It's evident that we're going to make mistakes. That's why all of our sins, what I like to say, all of our choices are forgiven. They know that we're going to open and close the door, that we're going to be inside and we're going to be outside, that we're going to acknowledge that we're a spirit being and all of a sudden we're going to go back to being a flesh in the there's nothing good of the world type of being. He knows this is going to occur. But yet, if you know this, that's the first step in preventing it. If you know this, that helps you to understand what repent really means. Not to feel guilty, but to change directions. To understand and acknowledge that you're having, let's say, better or worse than better thoughts. That you're allowing yourself to create, to design and build negative energy on your own. To have those thoughts and to act on them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Me personally, one of the greatest things I like is when I start to have a negative thought and I acknowledge that it's negative, and then I thank grace for stopping me. And then all of a sudden, to be perfectly honest with you folks, I don't have a clue what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
It's gone. Because look what I've done. I've acknowledged my flesh. I've chose to ignore it. And I've thanked God for the fact that I can. Where in that little mathematical equation is God and grace not going to swoop down and rescue me?
Right.
And to put me in a more positive place. And I do this hundreds of times a day.
Yeah.
Everything from not wanting the hammer handle to break, to a tractor tire not to go flat, to all kinds of things. Because there's no limits. Because if you think there's limits and boundaries, if you think there's something that's too insignificant or below or beneath God's attention, that's the problem.
Sure.
Because then that opens up the door to saying something that you don't mean.
Hey, I want to finish this thought here in the Message Bible. Let me read this to you again, James chapter 1, 19 through 27. It's really good. Just stay with me on this. It says, post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walking away, and 2 minutes later they have no idea who they are, what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. If you've never listened to the show before, and family or friends or duct taped your arms and legs to a chair, and you're forced to listen to this broadcast on Christmas night, even though it's pre-recorded a day ahead of time before Christmas, I want to give you something to think about. This doesn't go out to the regular listeners. This goes out to the people who maybe never listened before, just by sheer accident and sheer boredom you came across this show on the internet tonight. I want you to think about something. You may want to listen to this more than once and start applying it to the people that have either chased you away or turned you off to prayer and to worshiping God. Because this isn't about money or building funds or fancy cars or choirs or bands or music or Bible study groups. This is about you and a reflection on those thoughts that you have at intersections when you're waiting for the light to turn green, when you're in your home and you're just wondering, is this really all there is? And you wonder why things just can't seem to be just a little better, even though you want to try. And that you reflect and you recall on your life and you think back and you says, you know, I just didn't think things were going to go this way. That doesn't mean that things have gone really bad. You might have a really wonderful place and a good job and your health might be good. But yet you still seem to every once in a while have this empty spot, this ache inside you. Well, it's not gas from grandma's turkey stuffing. It's not an ulcer. That's the real you, the essence of you. That's your spirit being. And quite possibly, every once in a while when you say, I knew this was going to go wrong. I knew I shouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And you wonder what that is. That's grace. Because even though you don't call yourself a Christian, even though you don't worship anywhere, maybe you don't even think the Bible is real, that doesn't discount the fact that God isn't there in a heartbeat. Because grace is always there for you. Whether you use it or not, that's your personal choice.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people have brand new cars with brand new jacks, brand new spare tires, but yet I see them driving on the side of the road with their four-way flashers on because they're just going to go ahead and ruin a tire and a rim because they don't want to put their spare tire on. That's kind of like God and Christianity and grace.
The other night, Allie called me, and she was on the side of the road with that little Mini Cooper, the little...
Yeah, that little shoebox with wheels.
And she had, and I had failed to look at it, but she had ran her tire down to where it didn't have any air in it, so the thing just exploded, you know.
Right.
She was fine. She pulled over, so I went out there. I lifted up the trunk part, you know, where there should be a spare. There was a battery. They don't even have a spare. There's no room for a spare. So we
are you serious?
Yeah, those little things. And so I had to call AAA, which I'm a member of.
No, I mean, all jokes aside, those Mini Coopers don't
come
with
no spare.
So what are you supposed to do when you have a flat tire? You're just screwed.
AAA.
Really?
Or call the roadside service they give you. Yeah, that's
There's
it.
No jack or nothing.
No, you get all you get is the tire, what do you call it?
Tire wrench?
The wrench, yeah, to undo your nuts on the... So I had to have it towed to the house, and I undid and took one tire off and took it to a shop and had them give me a new tire and came back and then stuck it back on.
Really?
Yep.
Do you want to get her a spare tire with a jack? Because if you do, I can do that for you.
There'd be no place to put it.
Well, doesn't she have like some area in the back where she would like put... let me put it to you this way. Is there an area in the back where she could have a small little... like a very small duffel bag that would hold gym clothes?
Yes.
There you go. We get a small little duffel bag. We'll go to the auto parts store, and we'll get a jack. And she's already got a wrench. And then we'll go to the tire store, that supports my horse show for 14 years, and we'll get a tire and a rim, and she'll have a spare, because if there's no cell signal, or her battery's low, or her cell phone is broken, then what?
Well, I know it's not at all a good situation, but since you mentioned that, I mean, it just brought back that thought. I couldn't believe it. In fact, the policeman that stopped, to help us, and
then was he shocked as well?
Yeah, and even the guy that did the towing, they just both looked at him and they said, "Okay, well, you're probably going to have a sign on this in the morning, aren't you?"
Yeah, for sale. Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking tire, rim, a jack, a duffel bag. $200 or less.
Yeah, I was almost thinking my tire would have fit hers, but I guess probably the configuration might not have been the same.
Well, and here's the truth of it. That's what you guys get for buying other than American-made vehicles.
Well, yeah, I guess, right?
There's four Ford trucks on this ranch. You know what? They all have spares. I've had 22 Ford trucks. They've all had spares. I bet you there's somebody listening to the show that's got a Buick from the 70s. And you know what? It's got a spare.
Well, if there's someone listening to the show that has a little Mini Cooper and they've never checked, then you don't have a spare.
Yeah, and you know what? If she gets another flat, and you'll never tell me, because I'll just rub it in so deep.
Hey,
because I will say I told you so with capital letters, because now I've made the offer to take care of this problem.
I know you will. I'm going to read something that Jesus said.
About Mini Coopers?
No, it had nothing to do about
Mini
Coopers.
See, here it is, folks. God doesn't like foreign-made vehicles, right here on the show.
I can't support that in the Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. This is the Message Bible. You'll like this. It says, "And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions." That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You only, and look at what he's talking about. Religious traditions.
Traditions, habits.
Right. And he says, "You only make things worse when you lay down a smoke screen of pious talk, saying, 'I'll pray for you,' and never doing it, or saying, 'God be with you,' and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong."
I've said this, and I don't know if anybody's told it, but I said, whenever someone asks me to pray for them, I always say, "No, you pray. You do it." Because that is going to help them get the conviction and to learn that they don't need anyone. That's the whole essence of this show.
It is, and that statement that I made before, which is people are still excited about faith as long as they don't have to use theirs.
Yeah.
That really comes into play right here.
I mean,
people are afraid to pray their own prayer because their words really have meant not too much.
Well, they haven't got anywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's really sad when someone asks me, they says, "Oh, all your prayers are answered. I've heard, I've seen, I've met people that, that have been healed and, this or that." And, because it's not that big of a town. And they'll say, "I really need you to do this for me." And then I say, "Well, don't you believe in God?" "Well, of course I believe in God." "Well, don't you have a relationship with God?" "Yes, I have a relationship with God." "Well, then you do it. Why do you want me to do it?" Because what's going to be accomplished? Whenever Jesus healed somebody, he was almost curt with them. He wasn't rude, but he was real matter of fact. He didn't want thanks. He didn't want praise. He didn't want gifts. And sometimes he would tell them to move on, even though they weren't technically all better.
Most of the time, individually, he would tell people to do basically the very opposite of what they could do.
Yeah, they'd say, "Well, fine, you're fine now. Well, I still can't see. Just start walking.
Go home."
And that's when it would happen.
Yeah.
Because, see, that's the commitment of the Christian message. That's the conviction. Well,
yes.
How can you have a prayer answered? How can you call yourself a Christian? How can you worship? How can you validate the Bible if your own words and your own thoughts do not have equal amount
of
conviction?
Yeah, that's the reason for the show right there.
How would that work?
Yep.
Because that's like, you know, it cracks me up. People always like lifetime warranties. And it's guaranteed for life. Money back guarantee. It'll never fail. It'll always work. Those kind of things just crack me up. Because I'll tell you why. In today's global economy, as something as life-threatening and as important as the Hostess Baking Company.
Okay.
I mean, nothing's more important than Twinkies, ho-hos, ding-dongs, and cupcakes. I mean, we're getting down to serious stuff here.
Really?
So, yes. As something as important to everyone's existence and quality of life as the Hostess Baking Company can go broken out of business. The point being is when you buy something and it has a lifelong guarantee, that doesn't mean that the business is going to be around forever. Because a real lifelong guarantee doesn't need any guarantee at all. You just have it, and it works forever. That's conviction.
Yeah.
That's commitment. You don't need to be repentful. You don't need to be sinful. You don't have to worry about your soul. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to end up in heaven or you're going to be in hell in a barbecue. If you're committed to your Christianity. Because as soon as you are committed, you have conviction. And all of a sudden, you're going to have thoughts that you've never had before. And all of a sudden, the only time that you're ever going to remember having an unchristian-like thought is when you see it acted out in others.
Yeah.
That will be the only reminder. And it will be a joyful thing because you'll say, I used to say that. I used to do that. I used to be that way. Thank God I'm not anymore. That is a wonderful testimony.
Yeah, I picked up on something you just said, which was...
Hostess?
No, it went a little further than that, over into when you have a commitment, that's when you'll have conviction. When you get committed, that's when you
yes.
have... Yes. But, you know, defining that a little bit more... And I don't want to get off point of what we're talking about. That's probably the problem right there. Because most people do not get all the way in to make the commitment. That's why they can't have a conviction. Because if all you have left is one rope to swing on to save you, then you're in. You're
it is
convinced.
It's not off point. Because what do people say if the average person, I mean, I like to listen to people talk. I love to people watch. I just don't want to be their friend. You know, I don't want to have to deal with them. I don't want to share my candy. You know, I don't do bail money. I don't, you know.
Right.
I just want to, you know, be, you know, kind of on the outside looking in. It's comfortable. It's safe. Always has been. And it works wonders not to be distracted for communicating with God. But when you hear people talk, I'll be right back. This is only going to take a minute. Well, you were gone for 20 minutes. Why didn't you tell me you're going to be gone for 20 minutes? I wouldn't have just stood here collecting dust in the middle of the mall. I would have gone to the bathroom. I would have done something. But you told me you were going to be right back. They go, what's wrong with you? I told you I'd be right back. I'm back. Can't we just move on? Now, everybody's experienced this in one shape, form, or another. And maybe some of them, unfortunately, are listening to this broadcast, experience this today on the 25th of December. What does this do to your expectations of things being followed through?
Yeah, sure.
Because in the world, everything is up for grabs. Your feet are never really held to the fire until the prison door locks. or until you're paralyzed, or you're recovering from a major surgery, and you can't do your job anymore.
Right.
And life as you know it is over. It always seems that it takes something drastic. It was for me. I mean, I fit this description that I just talked about. This goes to your thoughts and your actions, because your thoughts are what is the gasoline that powers your mouth.
Yeah, it does.
If and so it is on point about the quality of and what your thoughts are.
I just looked up a scripture, another proverb that I think really spells out what you just said. Proverbs 26, 24 to 28, it says, "He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin."
You know,
wow.
My grandmother used to say liars have to have a really good memory. I don't remember anything. I mean, people all the time say, "Do you remember saying this?" I'll say, "No." Then they start repeating it. I go, "Oh, yeah." Then I can recall it.
Sure.
But if you don't tell the truth or you're dishonest, you have to memorize it.
Yeah.
You can't just repeat it.
Right.
Because it isn't true. It isn't how you feel, or it didn't really happen.
But this goes, really, our program today really speaks, if we were speaking to people that have good hearts and good intentions for the most part, they would think, "Well, I'm not necessarily a liar." But really what we're getting down to is it's the small little discrepancies that actually are lies that are the hindrances. Even if your heart is not to be a deceiver, it doesn't mean that you're not deceiving.
The biggest lie that most people tell is to themselves. The biggest deceit, the biggest tragic thing never hurts someone else. It hurts them. And the way it hurts a Christian is they deceive themselves into believing that they have it, they got it, and this is all there is. And sometimes they're unwittingly a victim who is served a meal of misinformation and deceit.
Yeah.
So that, well, why would my prayer be answered? Nobody else's is. You're talking about communicating with God and grace like it's a next-door neighbor. Well, I've never heard of that. It doesn't work, and I don't know anybody else that can do that. Why would I do that? See, they've literally talked themselves into a personal lie. They've literally shut themselves off from a wonderful relation that in Scripture says they were born with.
Right.
And it's there for the taking and using on an unprecedented, unmeasurable scale.
Interesting, yeah.
But yet, that is the biggest lie. And the reason it is a lie and the reason it's a deceit is because it can't be, you can't debate it, you can't substantiate it. It goes nowhere. The sheer fact of its existence is in the poor health, poor financial status, unhappiness, sleepless nights, head colds, diarrhea from bad Chinese food, disappointments, heartbreak, and a prayer never being answered results. That is evidence of the self-deceit.
Yeah.
And that's passed from parent to child.
Yeah, it is. And from
organization to congregation.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And the saddest part, while I was listening to you, describe that, the saddest part is most good-meaning people just need to be told the right thing
because
it's the wrong information they're getting that leads them this way. In fact, I heard just recently somebody, he got up in the middle of a service and somebody that, and this wasn't the pastor, this was somebody that was just giving a word from his heart, and he was just sharing, you know, the Lord just was sharing with me that we're going to go from knowing his voice to now beginning to experience his presence. And this is a new thing and a new revelation. And I'm thinking, no, it's like the beginning. It's like when the starter says, runners, take your mark. He's saying, get in the starting block, get in your stance because you're getting ready to run. It's the beginning. Knowing God, but I'm just saying that goes along with how easily people can be misled. And to see the majority of a congregation of people to a word like that go, oh, isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they're all missing the boat.
You know, think of it this way, folks. If you came from a land where there was no such thing as clothing, and all of a sudden you were in a room and they said, here, put this stuff on. Well, you could make an argument to put your shoes on and then put the socks over the shoes. And if somebody said, well, why did you put the shoes on and then slide the socks over the shoes? Because you could say, well, I figured that this was some type of a protection to keep the shoes clean. And that you could slide these on and off and exchange them for new ones, and they would protect the shoes. You love the way my mind works, don't you?
Yeah, because I'm just a little bit ahead of you right now, thinking about all the other things that we could creatively, if you didn't know any better, come up with. You know?
Yes. Why? How would you know?
You wouldn't.
No. Well, think of this radio show. Think of Jim's radio show and Jim's website, The Abiding Presence. Think of it as a tutorial to remind you to put your socks on and then your shoes. And that maybe something that you can do after you're sick and tired of turkey leftovers and you sneak away to the store tomorrow and get something that you like, just sit down and listen to the broadcast again and then take an assessment of yourself. Is it possible that through generational family tradition, through years and years of doctrine and twisted religion and in a building or a structure, that you have thought that the thing to do is to put your shoes on and then use the sock to protect the shoe?
Boy, it'd be completely backwards, wouldn't it?
Because this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is why I say there aren't very many churches, because this is exactly what's happening. You're supposed to have a sock, you're supposed to have a shoe, and you do, but somewhere it's been interpreted and accepted that the sock protects the shoe. It can't, and we've heard this word tonight, simply honest.
Yeah, simply and honestly.
Basic.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with negative energy.
Right.
Hell, Satan, whatever you want to call him. And since the flesh doesn't matter to either person, because the devil wants your soul, and so does God. Nobody wants your body. No matter how much you work out, no matter how much Botox or plastic surgery you've had, nobody cares about it. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't mean anything. So if it has nothing to do with your body, then that means it has nothing to do with the atmosphere and the world that the body participates in.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means, strictly speaking, this is a spiritual issue. And if you're concerned about the shoes and the socks and being like everyone else, where is there room for the essence to change for the better?
Right.
To make it work. Something to think about.
Well, let's have a prayer for our folks tonight. We're so glad that you've tuned in to the broadcast. And, of course, next week we will be live. And
are you sure?
Yes, sir. And learning to be careful with every word that I speak. But I want to pray for you, because when Paul said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened in a prayer, what he's meaning is for this very reason right now. If you can allow God to show you areas where you're in a very small way becoming distracted, missing the mark, this is exactly where you'll begin to turn around your spiritual experiences with God, where prayers will be very easy to be answered, where the intent of your heart will be very easily discerned, and you'll speak from your heart, not just if you pray for someone else, but even when you pray for yourself. So Father in heaven, I thank you for this time that we've had. We thank you so much for being so patient with us, helping us to grow and to learn, seeing for ourselves areas where we can make adjustments, and the grace of God can then be welcomed back into our lives, where it is helping us and empowering us to live and to experience your wonderful presence and your love. So tonight, right where everyone is at, on the day we call Christmas, where believers should be thanking God for Jesus being sent so that he would be the Savior of the world, I pray that you would open the eyes of these people, help them to do an assessment of their heart, and with the simplicity of making simple decisions, I thank you, Lord, that grace is restored into their lives, prayers are answered, the very face of God is seen. We thank you, Lord, for our relationship with you. It'll do nothing but enhance in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, folks, I want to say thank you for any emails and text messages that Ranger and I received. We were here in the studio with you for this broadcast. We'll be here next Tuesday night live. And also, give me about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll have tonight's broadcast up and streaming, and it'll be there till next week. Want to say hello and thank you to all the people that listen on a regular basis other than the live show on your boysenberry, blueberry, strawberry phone. And then they got those pad phones, iPad, knee pad, nose pad, elbow pad, whatever kind of pad phones those are. Thank you for that. And the emails, you can always email us. And remember that the instant text messaging works during the live broadcast. Jim and I hope that you've enjoyed tonight's pre-recorded show, and that you've had fun on this day. And remember to take care of yourselves and your pets, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yes. Have
Ranger.
A great Christmas.
Come on, Ranger. That's it. Louder. There we go. One more time. Good girl. See, Ranger and I were here the whole evening with you. Take care and good night.